Good morning. Because he first loved me. Do we realize that? He first loved us. We didn't first love him. Sometimes I forget that. We're going to be reading from the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 16, verses 1 through 9, if you want to turn to it. And before I get reading in that, I really just, as my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I just want to thank my church for being so wonderful to me in prayer and support. That meant a lot to me. And one of the things that really brings home that was in line with what Pastor Dan said and what we teach here also is, you know, when you're dead in sin, there really is no hope for you. So unless somebody comes along and rescues you, you're kind of dead in sin. And we're so thankful because we have a Father who sent his Son, our God, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to rescue us from what we rightly deserve, so we can be with Father forever in the Holy Spirit. So just want to say that it's a wonderful thing when you do need rescue, and a lot of us do in our lives. God is there to rescue us. Let's stand. Chapter 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out the bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed blood on the saints and prophets, and you have given them the blood to drink, for this it is their just due." And then I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, O Lord Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Then the fourth angel poured out the bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of the Lord, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent or give him glory. Thank you. Be seated.
Thank you, Bruce. So good to have you back with us, brother. It's good to have you back. A story is told of a little boy by the name of Johnny who was debating with his mother about eating green beans. Some of you have been there, I'm sure, in various ways. And she was doing everything she could to persuade Johnny to eat his green beans, and Johnny would not budge an inch. So in any event, out of exasperation, the mother said, "Johnny, if you do not eat your green beans, God will punish you." Well, that didn't do any good. It's time for bed. Johnny goes upstairs. He's in bed, and all of a sudden, this terrific storm comes. Lightning and thunder. The house is shaking. Being a good, compassionate mother, she runs upstairs, and she says, Johnny, are you okay?" Johnny said, "Sure, I'm okay, but this is sure an awful lot of fuss about a few green beans." And that's the kind of way we oftentimes look at God and God's judgment or his punishment, even his discipline to us as children. But that's not where it comes from. That's not what's going on, as God punishes planet Earth in the near future, probably. What will God exactly do when he finally culminates his judgment upon the people on this earth? What will it specifically look like when God will discipline, not even discipline, but will judge people. In Revelation chapter 16, beginning of verse 1, we see the beginning of the end as God will judge people. I invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation 16, beginning in verse 1. Last week, very briefly, in chapter 15, we saw that heaven's going to be excited about the forthcoming judgment. They're going to be praising and thanking God. And how our perception would be wise if our perception lined up with heaven's perception. Let's take a look to see what these judgments are. Revelation 16, the first bowl judgment. Painful sores on people. Verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple. We could stop right there. We know exactly whose loud voice it is, because according to chapter 15 there in verse 8, the only person who is even able to be in the heavenly temple is God himself. And that will be true until the final wrath is poured out. So this is God's voice. I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go. And the idea of the word go there, the tense of the verb would indicate go and go right now. Go immediately. Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. And these bowls that will be poured out, each bowl being another expression of God's anger, his holy wrath, will be in kind of rapid fire succession. Boom, 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 boom. We're at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. And it will be very much like the 4th of July, the grand finale. It will be rapid, it will be spectacular, and it certainly will get people's attention. Very much like the 4th of July grand finale. And this first bowl is very specific. Verse 2, the first angel went and he poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And so for those people who are loyal to the Antichrist by receiving his mark, those who worship his image, they are people who are loyal to the Antichrist and love the Antichrist and are not loyal to the true Christ and not loving the one true Christ. And this will be a punishment for them. And it will be a punishment that will cause agony, a foul and loathsome sore came upon these men. And the idea of the word sore, this exact same word is used in the Old Testament several times in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. Let's take a look at how this word sore is used in the Old Testament. And it will cause agony, tremendous pain in the lives of those who received the mark of the beast. In Exodus chapter 9, we see how this word sore is used in the scripture. Exodus chapter 9, verse 8. These are some of the plagues, the sixth plague in Egypt. Chapter 9, verse 8. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace and let Moses scatter it towards the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust to all the land of Egypt, and it will cause, here's the word, boils. Boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. The sores here were specifically sores that were boils on the skins of the Egyptian people. So these sores probably are going to be boil-like. Like the boils they suffered in the sixth plague in Egypt. In Revelation chapter 14, this is what it says in verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstones in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Notice this phrase, full strength into the cup of his indignation. This punishment, the sores, will be temporary in nature, unlike the lake of fire, but it will be not mixed at all with the mercy, wrath, mercy, grace, or love of God. It will be full-fledged, according to the text. Full strength will be this wrath poured into the cup of his indignation. So it will be temporary punishment for those who receive the mark, and it will be full-fledged punishment. No mercy, no grace. And we've all experienced things in our skin, haven't we? A lot of the things that we experience in our skin are annoying kinds of things, you know, itchy things, things that we cause itches. Some of them are quite painful. You do remember probably getting measles and chicken pox as a kid, and your mom will say, don't what? Don't scratch it. I remember getting mumps as a kid, and my brother accidentally stepped on my neck, my mumps. And for those of you who were there, he's probably getting back at me. You heard some of those stories yesterday. But in any event, it can be quite painful things that happen on our bodies. And this will be very, very painful, these boils, these sores. Let's go to the second bowl, the second expression of God's wrath. Verse 3, the second bowl, seas will turn to blood. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. And the idea of the word sea here is all the seas and all the oceans. And we know that is approximately 3/4 of the earth's mass. He poured out his bowl out on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. And we've seen on the movies, when a person dies, there's a lot of blood. So there will be a great deal of blood, and it will be in the sea, and every living creature in the sea died. So all sea creatures will die, whether it's squid or scrod or whales or dolphins, every sea creature will die. And so you have this combination of blood in the seas and in the oceans, and you have innumerable dead sea creatures. The combination has to have a stench beyond imagination. And I imagine that the value of beach houses will go down very quickly. Right? Yeah. It's not the first time God has done something like this. He has also punished Egypt and judged Egypt. Again, as we go back to Exodus chapter 7. Verse 17 of Exodus 7. Thus says the Lord, the first plague, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink. No kidding. And the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod, stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, over all the pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lined up the rod, he struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river returned to blood. The fish that were in the river died, the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. So it will be terrible, and there will be this tremendous loss of food, because I personally like fish. But there won't be any fish to eat, and the stench will be incredibly awful. In Revelation chapter 8, notice what it says in verse 8. We'll see that this isn't the first time that God will have a similar punishment in the book of Revelation. This is the second trumpet. We're looking at the second bowl. Notice the second trumpet, Revelation 8:8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And so we see that in the second trumpet judgment, very similar, except there is mercy and grace mixed with his wrath, because only a third of the sea turned to blood, and only a third of the fish died, and only one third the stench, as there will be with the second bowl judgment. So there will be no mercy mixed with God's wrath. There will only be wrath as the second bowl judgment is rendered. I think this is just a good place just to briefly say, nobody in the universe has a longer fuse than God. Nobody has a longer fuse than God. Nobody's more patient than God. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But even God's fuse eventually runs out. Eventually God's fuse even runs out. And so the hope is the gospel until somebody passes away or until judgment falls here in the end times. Let's go to the third bowl judgment. Not only will the seas turn to blood, but the fresh water on the earth will be turned to blood. This is particularly devastating, I think. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, fresh water, and they too became blood. And again, this is not the first time in the book of Revelation that something similar to this has happened. As we turn back to Revelation chapter 8, notice what it says in verse 10, this is the third trumpet judgment. The bowls and the trumpets are very similar. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood, because a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter, and you couldn't drink it. But again, notice how much of the water was not drinkable. One third. One third. And so at this point, there's no mercy. There's no grace. It's God's holiness, God's wrath being poured out upon man without any mixture of grace, mercy, or love. In Psalm 78, and the 78th Psalm gives us an interesting perspective on this particular bowl judgment. Psalm 78, verse 43. When he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, he turned the rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink anymore. Can you imagine what the impact would be without fresh water? Well, first of all, of course, the easy thing to think, we won't have anything to drink. But what about Coke? We'd have Coke. Did you know that Coke has 20 brands, each brand that has over $1 billion of sales each year? So Coke owns a whole lot more than Coke. And so we could use Coke and we could drink. Well, Coke doesn't quench your thirst. Nothing quenches your thirst like water. I'm a water junkie. I drink three of these a day. It cleans, it flushes out the system. It doesn't allow kidney stones to form. This is water. And I highly recommend water. But it's beyond that. We tend to cook with water. We can't cook with Coke. We tend to wash our hair with water. We don't wash our hair with Coke. We tend to wash the dishes with water. We don't wash our dishes with Coke. And it just goes on and on. If we've got a cut, we wash the cut with water, not with Coke. And as we begin to think of the uses that we have for fresh water, it's like unbelievable. So there's no water to drink, and there's a number of other difficulties as God expresses his wrath. But notice how heaven responds to all this. Verse 5. I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things." What you're doing is righteous. For they, the people on earth, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. They've been killing people right and left. Your people. They shed the blood of saints and prophets, and therefore you have given them blood to drink, for this is their just due. God's punishment is always appropriate. His punishment is always appropriate. And it's just amazing to see this in Scripture and to see this in real life. You shed blood, you'll drink blood. And so there's agreement in heaven with what God is doing. This is not improper. This is not unloving. This is long overdue. Verse 7, and I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. And so the same thing is said from, quote unquote, the altar, the people who are around the altar. They agree with the assessment of the angel of the waters. And here now we see in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established and it's true. And so we have more than one person, more than one angelic being saying, what you're saying, God, what you did is right. It's just, it's true. And it's amazing that it didn't happen way before. But God has incredible patience. He loves people and he keeps the door open as long as he possibly can. Let's look at the fourth bowl. Scorching sun. The scorching sun. Verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Scorch men with fire. They say that one of the most painful things in the world is getting a burn. A burn. In Revelation chapter 8, again, we see that God is consistent. He's just more intense in his judgment with the bold judgments. Revelation 8, verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun. Notice the third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise a third of the night. It's hard to get a sunburn. Now, I'm kind of blessed with that Mediterranean skin thing. And the only part of me that's gotten burned in decades is it's caused by my thinning hairline. That gets burned up there. I got to put a cap on. But the rest of me is great. But I remember as a kid a few times getting burned. And it really, really hurts. And it doesn't matter how much sunscreen you're going to put on or how dense the sunscreen is. And people will be scorched, not merely burned. Now, here's the most amazing part of the text to me. Verse 10, verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent, and they did not give him glory. No repentance, no confession, but they're going to blame God for what's happening. And we as people, we have all blamed other people when we're wrong, right? It's even worse to blame God when we're wrong. But that's what's going to happen. It's not our sin. You're the one that's to blame God. And it just goes to show just how deserved man is to receive these judgments. And so until then, Lord, we thank you that you desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and that the hope of the gospel still is the hope of the world. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are patient and that you are merciful and that you are long-suffering and that you are full of grace. But Lord, we recognize that you are also holy and that you are just and that you are righteous. And we thank you, Lord, that you take your wrath out on your Son for all who trust what Jesus did on the cross for them. That anger, that holy wrath does not need to be taken out upon us as individuals because you took it out on your Son, Jesus. And so we pray, Lord God, anyone here who has not trusted Jesus, that they might escape the wrath to come and that they might be called children of the living God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.